once again, and it's officially Oscar season, I think, right?
Oh, it is.
We can call it that now. We've made it to June, almost July, and we are officially kicking off the Oscars race for 2019, the 2018 movie year in review, and we're doing that today by going over some Oscar movie trailers that you guys have seen on the internet, and you'll start seeing more and more on television. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, and Oscar. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is my co-host, also Mike.
Yes, I'm also Mike. I'm very excited for this mid-year Oscar report part one today. We've got some movies that we've previewed a little bit, or at least we've danced on the edge.
Touched on some of these, yeah, for sure. In terms of brought up their names, and that's what we kind of want to do again. Every time we bring them up, we want to get them more and more on your radar so that when the Academy Awards and the nomination process does come out and these do come around, you want to know what you should see and what you can look out for and keep an eye out for.
We had that 2019 Oscar predictions pod
Yes.
that we did right after last year's
Oscars.
Which
we're hoping to be held against us soon. So
we touted it as surefire.
Absolutely right. I'm not backing down from a single one of those.
We'll see how that
Only problem
works.
Is I don't remember what I said, so I'm going to lie
well,
now.
That was our initial gut instinct.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's hard to look forward, but that's kind of what we wanted to do and have people yell at us on the internets about how wrong we were.
We followed that up with a Cannes, Sundance, South by Southwest preview on our Hollywood Hot Takes number 6. We've also previewed every month this year so far, or the last 4 anyway. Spring movies, early
like
summer.
Becoming like a sculptor, how they mold clay. You know, we bought the clay, that was the Sundance and the Cannes, and then we laid out the groundwork, we flattened it out, and now we're trying to mold it a little bit into this golden statue.
The foundation of the house may crumble upon our heads at any moment.
We are not good with construction.
We should be. My dad's an engineer. I should be better at this.
Yeah, it's not hereditary.
English major.
My dad's an accountant. It was my worst grade in college. Anyway, moving on. Trailers. Oscar trailers is what we're here for today, and we're going to go through, like also Mike just said, you've heard some of these. We might have touched on some, but as June and July come, the stuff that's coming out in Oscar season, October, November, December, they get more and more ready to go online, and so we're seeing more stuff about them. We may have a second or third trailer for some movies. It might be our first exposure to a movie in full.
Yeah.
So that's what we're commenting on today as we go through these.
And the last bit of business here is next episode, we'll kind of go category by category, give you the Oscar buzz, what's out there for all these movies and all these potential nominees.
It's important to look out for. We're doing it this weekend for a reason. We're closing in. We're about 8 months almost exactly away from the 2019 Oscars show. We're about another 6 months away from nomination voting being closed. Looking
mid-year
forward to the show.
Report.
So we're at the halfway point, and it's time to start getting
Should
into this.
Should we call it a report or rapport? Like drop the T and just put an E, or just spell it report, but pronounce it rapport like the Colbert Report.
Yeah, no, we won't get sued at all for doing that.
That was a funny joke in my head.
Let's start with one of the ones that we have talked about a couple times already, a few times, more probably than any other movie on this list.
The champ is here.
Spike Lee's Black Klansman. We've talked about this. We saw the latest trailer. It's getting ready to come out. What do we have on Black Klansman here, Michael?
Yeah, previewed it in our Hollywood Hot Takes number 6 and the July-August releases episode. It's coming out in August. We will do a movie event pod for it almost surely.
Oh, without question.
Unless it really stinks it up on the tomato meter, which I can't see. Starring John David Washington, starring Adam Driver, starring Topher Grace. We've got some serious talent behind the camera with Spike Lee and Jordan Peele at producing. I think...
What a dream team, huh? Spike Lee and Jordan Peele teaming up and getting behind the
consensus out there, we'll talk about it next episode. This movie is a major contender, not just in the big categories, but in a lot of the smaller ones as well. Look at this looks like some vintage Spike Lee. They got his signature shots in the trailer.
Yeah. Our excitement has kind of been like bursting at the seams with this one, and it's we're not doing a good job of hiding it and being impartial when it comes to this movie, but the subject matter is so juicy. Nazis and Klansmen, for whatever reason, because apparently it's 1965 all over again, are at the forefront of pop culture and our everyday media now, again. Thanks, Prez. So it's current and relevant, and I wonder if that's going to have an effect on the way this is perceived by the Academy voting, because let's say none of that ever happened. It's a nice period piece in the 70s kind of lore that it is.
True. This movie seems like it's going to go for the jugular. All the buzz we're getting is that it's very angry, that it's intense. That it's
a Nazi
vintage
movie is angry?
Spike Lee.
Yeah. KKK? Angry? No.
I love how John David Washington pronounces white in every time.
Very
every
funny.
Time he says white.
Very funny.
like Family Guy there in
the trailer. Of the mix here. You have this very serious subject matter and this life or death stakes almost as this black guy tries to infiltrate the KKK. But there's obviously those layers of comedy over it, like every Spike Lee movie has.
Genre bending. Yeah. He's been his whole career. No doubt, this is a movie that may play more for us on our list than it does to the mainstream Academy at some point. We will find out. Next movie.
The Wife.
Yeah.
And Mike One favorite, Glenn Close. Let's get her an Oscar. Come on.
Previewed it in our 2019 Oscar predictions pod. Those are surefire once more. July, August releases. It's coming out at the end of August. Glenn Close seems to be another obvious best actress campaigner this season.
I hope so. This trailer has a very old school type feel to me. It's very basic. There's no preview for the preview at the beginning of the trailer. There's no action shots. It's a very dialogue heavy drama, it seems. I'm excited. I'm hopeful for Glenn Close's sake.
The entire trailer seems to be guessing whether or not she's the ghostwriter for her Nobel Prize nominated author husband's work.
Yeah, it's weird, and there's some kind of tension. They hit on an affair that the husband's having and how she has like repressed anger about that. And by the way, Christian Slater as this like omnipresent, omnipotent, all-knowing guy behind the scenes of everything. That's like, I didn't know that was a niche in Hollywood, but he's filled
got it right now.
with
him. Ask Rami Malek.
And his Mr. Robot-y type thing. This is the exact same role he's playing here, so we know he can pull that off.
A lot of Game of Thrones actors in this trailer. Never mind the movie, I'm sure.
Hopefully no beheadings, but we'll see. We never know.
Never know. The Wife. One beheading after another. No.
As long as Glenn Close is wielding the axe, I'm there.
But this Best Actress category is filling up, my friend. And we talked about loaded categories in the past. Last year was probably Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
This year, Lead Actress to me seems like the most competitive, but we'll figure that out.
We gushed over Best Actress also last year about how we thought it was like a once in a decade type race with those three main headlining acts with the three billboards outside of Missouri, I, Tonya, and Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird. We're getting kind of the same feel from these again. It's going to be a loaded field.
You got a lot of the same names, but then you got Felicity Jones going for it as RBG.
Mm-hmm.
You got Melissa McCarthy making some noise.
Viola Davis out
obviously
there.
Toni Collette. Viola Davis, my God.
Yeah.
And Widows, we'll talk about
that.
So
we'll see. It's going to be a tough bar to cross, but I hope this is the one that finally gives Glenn Close the recognition. We will see. Sorry to Bother You is next.
July, August preview episode. We're all over this one. It's coming out early July. It is a genre bender, a sci-fi comedy starring Lakeith Stanfield and a stellar cast. You name them, they're in it. I am into genre benders.
Yeah, you don't say.
That's just me.
You've hidden that well, though.
I love sci-fi comedy. Just put that in the title. I'm in the synopsis.
So it's Mars Attack, is what you're saying.
Oh, my God. Could it be, please? But this is also the movie that feels like a satire on the workplace. Obviously, a racial satire. It's having a racial commentary throughout, no doubt. I mean, he's doing a white voice as a telemarketer.
Yeah, very bizarre.
You have David Cross as one of the white
doing
the
voices. Oswald as well,
That's just brilliant. They're comedians. I'm so in.
I'm glad you have a handle on what this movie is going to have, because I've seen what I think is the third different trailer for this movie.
Right.
I still have no idea what's going on. I know it's a day in the life type thing, but it's presented in this awfully unique way. And some of the...
I wish I had your beard. I would stroke it. I just may reach over the table. You gotta grow beard.
Makes two of us. But yeah, I'm interested for sure. Curious.
Intrigued.
I've been in on this since the Sundance noise it made, and it did make a lot on Around the Festival loop. So we'll see. And
by the way,
Hammer.
Army Hammer. Yeah. I was just going to say.
We're beautiful. Love him.
Oh, you had that there. Also Army. Yeah, good.
Exclamation point. Yeah, I like him.
Okay, so now on the high note, back down to the low note a little bit. Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. July, August preview, we're all over it. Joaquin Phoenix, Rooney Mara, Jonah Hill, directed by Gus Van Sant. The trailer looks terrific. Great cast, great director.
It's a true story, too, which I didn't know.
I'm into this trailer, about the cartoonist.
Yeah, it's a biopic, which I wasn't aware of until last night.
You have it written down here, John Callahan. I'll just keep stealing your copy.
Yeah, if you don't mind, go ahead.
Controversy.
I work for you. Yeah, controversy is right, and we touched on this a couple times.
You like my setup? Can you start talking now, please?
We hit on it a couple times. It came up how there's foundations and there's institutions that represent all these disabled people that have the outrage that Joaquin Phoenix was chosen for this role to play this disabled cartoonist.
Why not the kid from Breaking Bad? How great an actor of an actor was he?
Yeah, it's a good. It's a very fair point. It's you know, and that's what the anger comes from. Now that said, I was again looking at this trailer last night online on YouTube and blah blah blah. And look, everything I'm going to say came from a YouTube comment section, so right. Take that for what it's worth. It could have been all one, you know, 75-year-old, 300-pound dude in Wisconsin somewhere that's at his keyboard pretending to be a billion people.
They're pretty good at YouTube comments, though. Right. That's what I hear. So,
but on this trailer, this particular trailer, it looked like John Callahan, who's the movie is based around his life, his nephew commented on this. And there were follow-up, he said, you know, I can't wait to see this. This is all coming together. Can't wait to see the final product, blah, blah, blah. And under his comment were a bunch of people saying how inspirational the John Callahan cartoonist was to their lives and how they helped him get through spinal surgery and disabled and losing limbs and stuff like that. So there's two sides to the argument here. You have people that, institutions that represent disabled people and disabled people themselves that are have outrage, and probably rightfully so, about Joaquin Phoenix taking this role.
Yeah.
But you also see the other side of the coin where there's obviously people that can relate to this character, and this character had such a big impact on their lives that are excited to see this portrayal and see this final product. So I don't know what to make of it. We've kind of said how we're on the fence about it ourselves. We'll probably wait till it comes out on Amazon to watch it.
Amazon has been marketing the hell out of this. Every time I click on Box Office Mojo, there's the banner for it.
Yeah.
Listen, Gus Van Sant, Good Will Hunting. He did a great job with Milk, I thought.
Great movie, yeah.
He's handled tough subject matter before in that regard, and subject matter that means a lot to people with that Harvey Milk bio. I'm in, I think.
It's curious. Like I said, I don't know. I could see it both ways. I'm just going to reserve my final word until I see the whole movie and see the product.
It's in our Oscar movies trailer pod, but it's not getting a lot of Oscar buzz out there, as you'll see next episode, surprisingly enough.
Oh,
but
I
think
say,
I wanted to put it in.
Joaquin Phoenix seems to be getting more from this now than he is from You Were Never Really Here, which we were very excited about. And then it came out. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but you said you weren't a fan, and IMDb is down in the 6.7s,
I
think, with it. I
hate, like, you know, you have a character that's suicidal right off the jump that's not a spoiler. He's just, like, trying to kill himself right in the beginning of the movie. So why are we watching this?
So, I don't know. Take that for what it's worth, too. But it's a lot of question marks and a lot of we'll see as it comes out.
Searching. John Cho is looking for his missing daughter. It's a gimmicky horror thriller mystery. We don't know.
How dare you say gimmicky?
Well, Sundance favorite. Well, it's gimmicky in the sense that it's going to have a very specific format.
It's gimmicky in the sense that it's the greatest movie ever.
The entire movie's living in the four corners of a computer screen. His father's doing online research. I don't think we're leaving that screen. We don't know yet.
Probably not. It doesn't seem like it. And we've touched on this and talked about this one previously, too. This seems to be the new age Blair Witch handheld camera
found footage type thing. Unfriended dark web. Unfriended the first one.
Another Oscar contender, yeah.
The trailblazer on that one. Deborah Messing is a detective in this one, we think.
Yeah.
Another movie that comes out in July. The buzz from Sundance, the buzz from a lot of critics that we like and respect, they have touted it as one of their favorite movies of the year so far. Again, we're kind of hitting on movies that we've already gone through quickly here in rapid fire. We'll get to some new ones soon, but this, I can't wait in July. I got
to
see this.
Very curious to see it. Probably not going to be an Oscar contender when all said and done, but it's included here because you don't know. I mean, once these come out, like we always say, one of these independent small movies is going to get momentum.
Yes.
And one or two of them is going to carry you throughout Oscar season. So who knows?
Could be waiting one, we'll for that fire to catch somewhere. Okay, let's get into some of these newer movies. We have A Star Is Born, Michael.
I think that's about me.
Starring Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper with Dave Chappelle and Sam Elliott. Directed.
Dave Chappelle going for the supporting actor type deal there, huh?
I wonder if he's in the Gary Busey role from the last movie.
I would like him to play his character from Half-Baked in this movie.
Directed by Bradley Cooper. He's getting a lot of buzz. This movie's getting a lot of Oscar buzz already. I think it is because of the quality of this trailer. This is a remake of the Judy Garland, then the Barbra Streisand classics. In quotes. Now, I love this trailer so much that I mentioned previously, I watched the Barbra Streisand movie, the Kris Kristofferson movie, because it just popped up on Netflix. Mm-hmm. That is a 2.5-hour watch that is an hour too long. It is a crap movie. Did I say grap or crap? But it's
it was so bad you had to put a G on it.
It was awful. I mean, her performances are tremendous.
31% on Rotten Tomato for that one. Would you say you're trying? That's probably accurate.
Oh really?
For the Streisand one, anyway.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I feel much better about the world of critics right now. However, I feel much worse about myself because I usually live by the tomato meter, and I didn't for that movie for some reason. I just assumed it was a classic.
Well, that's what that becomes our hypocritical answer. We started by saying don't live your life by the tomato
what
meter.
What is wrong?
So really,
with me?
We have no fault here. We can do whatever we want.
Dude, the end of this trailer gives me goosebumps when Gaga starts just operetto. Oh my goodness.
Okay. So, first of all, Judy Garland one was a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that it matters. 7.8 on IMDb. Streisand was down, so we'll see. You're right. You get goosebumps. Great looking trailer. Everyone's excited about this movie. Why are we so sure this is going to be great?
We're not, but the look at that trailer, though.
Yeah, no, the trailer looks great. Gaga
goes...
Anytime Gaga sings, her voice is amazing. I could see her getting
an
original song.
Yeah, you was close.
I closed my eyes. I thought I saw you. You can get an original
close
song
Italian.
For Gaga. You can get. I could see her getting a supporting actress nod for this for sure, but we're all positive that Bradley Cooper can pull off the reserved, beaten-down country star?
He sounds pretty good there.
In now, a romance musical?
The last movie was all about the alcoholism, and it was all about the party-goingness of Kris Kristofferson, who, by the way, could not sing worth a lick. Bradley Cooper can sing 10 times as good as Kristofferson. I mean, again, we're not music critics, as we've demonstrated in our half-isodes.
Speak
times
for yourself.
Eight. Those are fun and funny. Oh my God, we're really proud of our last one, the Mary Poppins episode. Do look at that one, 64, 65.
Absolutely.
That might be some of our best work. Anyway, this movie trailer showcases some good songs. I like the country song from Bradley Cooper. When Gaga gets going, man.
This is just a love note to you, from you to Gaga. Huh?
I love Gaga. She's Italian.
I do too. I'm not
she's
arguing,
my
yeah.
age, 33, 34, whatever she is there.
It's a repentant romance. You're destined to be.
Well, maybe. Don't put that pressure on us.
No, I'm just trying to live.
I love Gaga. I like that Gaga documentary that was on Netflix a while back. She seemed really, cool. She's a total diva, yes. But she's quite an athlete. The fact that she's a triple threat and being an actress here as well as a fashion icon and, of course, as a singer.
Yeah, I just need to see more. Maybe another trailer will come out. I just need to see more before I'm as excited for this as everyone else seems to be. If an original song nomination and if a supporting actress nomination comes out of this, I wouldn't be surprised. If it's good enough and a director nomination comes out of this, I wouldn't be surprised. Best picture, best actor, we'll see.
Probably
I don't know.
More best original song area at the end
right.
of the day, if we had to guess. You want to take the next one, Mike?
Welcome to Marwin. I'm excited about this one, too. I know we'll keep repeating that drum, but it's a good year for movies. We're lucky in that last year was kind of the same thing, and this year seemed to be carrying the momentum. Steve Carell, Elsa Gonzalez, it's another one.
Aiza, Mike. Aiza,
you're right. From Baby Driver, of course.
Oh, my favorite.
Yes. It's another one featuring miniatures.
Yes.
It's a big year for miniatures.
You said it's a year of miniatures. I was like, that's too brilliant.
Yeah, it's Hereditary in this one now. And it's Steve Carell, again, being beaten down by Nazis.
Literally, neo-Nazis.
And it's affected his ability. He's an artist. It's affected his ability to draw. He now has to express himself through these miniatures. And it's a Robert Zemeckis film, so you have that fantasy aspect where it's him, Steve Carell, in real life, and Leslie Mann in real life, and then the miniatures are them superimposed on miniatures and a cartoon almost variation of them plays out.
Yes, Zemeckis from the Back to the Futures, Forrest Gump, of course, I think those mm-hmm. are both his. And then he did the Polar Express, all the motion capture stuff, Beowulf. He did a lot of that stuff back to back to back.
Now he's a big mocap guy.
Well, now he's mixing the mm-hmm. two because you have this, it's like Steve Carell and Toy Story all mixed into one movie.
This is going to win Best Picture, isn't it?
Yeah, the Toy Story of his toys with his face on it. When he was an artist, I guess he was able to craft these dolls with his faces on. Now he can't draw worth anything because of his injuries. And he just has this team, this support group of beautiful, gorgeous, talented actresses who happen to live near him.
Yep.
You from Diane Kruger from In the Fade, Leslie Mann from This Is 40, Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones, Merritt Weaver from Michael Clayton, Janelle Monáe from Hidden Figures is training him and in the rehab
learning
to get
to walk
him going
again. Hey.
Yes, learning to walk again, the Foo Fighters song. I mean,
as,
this movie.
As for Carell literally learns to walk again,
dude,
in the trailer.
It's hard to dislike this movie. And the CG action adventure. You're right.
Pure, innocent protagonist. Yep. Who has his abilities taken away.
A 40-year-old man, you know, which is, of course, right? Perfect for Academy.
Taken away by Nazis.
Right.
And he has to express himself through this fantasy aspect with toys. This is liberal Hollywood casting their vote already.
It's a Sound of Music meets Toy Story. I'm still trying for the crossovers here. But originally called The Women of Marlin, they definitely, they changed it to Welcome to Marwin. I thought that was interesting. It looks like an action movie, too, with all the fantasy involved.
Genre bender, like you said.
Here's the thing. I'm rooting for this movie to be good. I don't think I'm rooting for it to be Best Picture.
It's December. It's the family film one. It's got the spot where Downsizing was last year. Downsizing, obviously, kind of disappointed.
Interesting.
I don't know. Based on that trailer, that trailer to me just spoke to the Academy.
Well, talk to me about The Shape of Water. Like, if The Shape of Water just came out, was not nominated for anything, what would you have thought of it? Like, if we didn't have the pressure of, oh, this could be a top five movie of the year, would we have kind of thought it was more of a pleasant surprise?
Probably, if they didn't have the momentum, knowing what we did beforehand. Also, it was also helmed by a director, long-term, known in Hollywood. Everyone loved him.
But he was always on the fringe. He was always that cult favorite kind of guy.
True.
Pan's Labyrinth. So now that he blew up and everybody picked him for the big award, it's almost like he was so underrated, now he's overrated.
Yeah.
Is this movie just, does it feel too Oscar-grabby? Carell's going to be up for supporting actor, for actor. We don't know what Beautiful Boy, if he's a lead or a supporting
in
that one.
We said in the 2019 looking forward way back when that this seems to be the year of Carell, so this is one of his marks. I could see a Best Actor nom. Certainly
he's doing the motion capture stuff as well as the serious dramatic acting.
Realize that. Cool.
He does scream like he did when he was playing Noah off that couch, which sounded like a funny scream. That's the problem with Steve Carell, though, because every time he screams, I'm thinking he's Brick.
Yeah, or Michael Scott, yeah.
Or Michael Scott, and it just sounds like a funny scream to me. But he's having traumatic dreams of being beaten up by Nazis.
I'm sure he appreciates that when he goes through real strife in his life.
How great he was in that wrestling movie.
Foxcatcher, Foxcatcher. He's already been nominated. The Academy knows he's got acting chops for the serious roles. That's another point in the favor of, I think this is going to be a darling of the Academy.
And you said it right here. This is charming as shit to read more of your copy.
Yeah.
It is. It was.
Yeah.
That's a good trailer.
First Man is next. Go ahead, Mike.
Directed by Damien Chazelle from La La Land, starring Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong.
Oh, Ryan Gosling's in a Chazelle movie?
Dude, this is perhaps the best trailer yet for me thus far.
Yeah, you're big on this.
Claire Foy, Kyle Chandler.
Great cast.
Chappaquiddix, Jason Clarke. Some jerks, typical jerk type characters, but also Claire Foy, who we love.
No bigger jerk than the moon.
The moon is a jerk in this one, but we know what's going to happen. We know, or at least we think, and you know that we're not conspiracy theorists.
Can you imagine
we think
if they
we
put
know
a twist on this,
and they do it in a where they walk out of a,
they
warehouse,
do it in a warehouse
at the end of the movie.
Of that. Oh, that would be brilliant.
But if I am just on pins and needles during this trailer. This is like the height of cinematic manipulation. Because just like Titanic and Cameron, he is pulling off in this trailer what Cameron pulled off in Titanic. We all know the ending.
Yeah.
And still, I'm just like so stressed out, edge of my seat watching this trailer. The visuals are working. The music is working on me. The performance is Gosling being an underdog for such, you know, an all-American boy type of guy his whole life, his whole career. He's not usually that guy. Now we see him as this, all right, yeah, he's super accomplished. He's Neil Armstrong. He's a freaking astronaut. He's elite, but he's overmatched. There's no way he's going to do this. He's fallen from the sky in all their tests. My God, am I into this movie? I will see anything Damien Chazelle does. What do you think?
Yeah, it didn't hit me as well. Is there anything you saw in this that Apollo 13 didn't already kind of lay out the blueprint for?
Apollo 13 had me by the balls for 3 hours. So did the Martian.
So you're in the wrong industry. You should be an astronaut, is what you're saying.
I love this genre, I guess. I'm totally in.
Yeah. I'm excited for it, obviously. Chazelle, Gosling, so much talent, Claire Foy, great subject matter, big important moment in history, another biopic. We know the Academy loves biopics.
Just the breathing at the end while he's walking down the steps, Mike.
There's stuff in this trailer that really does grab you. I will not argue with that.
Damien's making some strong choices.
We have this old Hollywood versus new Hollywood type thing going on. And for so many years, how many times did we hear, well, who's these new directors? Where's the big next new director coming from?
The Ringer.
Now they're everywhere. Well, yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but now they're everywhere.
We love The Ringer.
We have Damien Chazelle and Ryan Coogler against the Robert Zemeckis is coming back and the Marty Scorsese if the Irishman makes the cut.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele last year was able to outduel Spielberg. He couldn't outduel Del Toro. So we kind of have this clashing of generations, which is really cool to see.
Probably got Ryan Coogler and Chazelle going up against them.
So it's going to be cool to see. You've gushed over this trailer. It's worthy of being gushed over. Everybody has it on the tops of their list as far as looking forward to awards possibilities.
Stay tuned.
Am I crazy, though, for thinking that a lot of this movie rests on the shoulders of Claire Foy?
I hope so. And
I think
those are worthy shoulders to rest it on. Claire Foy was the best performance in last year's Breathe with Andrew Garfield, which is a rough movie to watch, really rough.
Yeah.
But she was awesome in it. She's on The Crown. She's got the new Dragon Tattoo franchise.
Yeah, it's true.
Elizabeth Salander.
We were hoping Unsane would be her big coming out. It seems to have not done
that.
Thank
you very much. Unsane, I loved.
Yeah.
I'm in for Claire Foy.
But Gosling's Neil Armstrong is so straight-laced and borderline robotic in this. He tells his son, we have no plans of not coming back at the dinner table. When his son's asking him, you know, what if you die? What if you don't come back? We have no plans of not coming back. And so he's so straight-laced, and Claire Foy has to portray the emotion,
but
be reserved as a mother.
Doesn't that feel more realistic about these astronauts who are cool under fire, like we talked about in the past?
Oh, I'm not criticizing. Yeah,
have to be.
Totally.
So that makes
not
sense.
Not criticizing Gosling's performance.
He is the epitome of stoicism and professionalism, and if he is her foil for her performance, for her to go off in these scenes, that would be genius to me.
And that's that's how I view it. So you're absolutely right. That's what I think and hope, and certain things she's capable of doing, but that's how I hope the movie is handled. And if it is that way, she's certainly capable of pulling it off. And if she does, we got a big one on our
hands.
That look
she gives when she's being escorted somewhere by security or whatever, we don't know what's happening.
It reminded me a lot of Jennifer Connelly in A Beautiful Mind. A lot of parallels between the actions and the eyes and all the emotion being portrayed. But
that could work for big time awards.
Speaking of big time movies, how about Widows?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Perhaps first man's main competition come Oscar time by the look. Here's the thing, though. It's not being as touted by the big critics that we really like.
Go to hell.
Ann Thompson, we love Ann Thompson
right,
from IndieWire.
Right. Yeah,
she's not as high on this movie yet. I don't know if she's seen it or what.
Maybe it's too action-y?
Well, I got a theory coming up. Let me get through the specs. Starring Viola Davis from Doubt and Fences, Liam Neeson from Taken, Colin Farrell from The Beguiled, and Roman J. Israel from last year. John Bernthal, who was in 10 movies last year, The Punisher.
And somehow coming back to The Walking Dead, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, really? Oh my God, why?
I don't know. He just announced it last week. He's coming. Whatever. I won't tell you about season 2.
Michelle Rodriguez, Fast and Furious, getting a lot of buzz for her performance here. Carrie Coon from The Leftovers and Gone Girl.
Love
Garrett Dillahunt, 12 Years a Slave and No Country for Old Men. Daniel Kaluuya seems to be the main villain
in this movie.
From Get Out. To me, that's the most exciting thing.
Same here.
Because he's being cast as this pivotal role before Get Out was even the huge hit it was.
Oh, was he?
I think. I mean, this movie's been in the works forever. So if he was cast for 2 years, I mean, McQueen takes his time.
And he's so arrogant and cocky in the few scenes he has in this trailer, and it's so believable. You're like, you're this protagonist that's like at your wit's end in Get Out, and I wanted to punch him in the face so badly in this trailer.
And he's this cool-ass drug villain in this movie.
He's great.
Oh, boy. So Robert Duvall and Lucas Haas from Ramblin' Rose that we just talked about, that could be a red flag because Lucas Haas has not been my favorite actor over the years. Maybe he'll surprise me.
How do we set up a triple threat match between you, Lucas Haas, and Mark Wahlberg? How do we get that done?
They would crush me. Just by there, I would just have to bow down to their prowess, their great careers. Who the hell am I?
Let me handle your promotions in those lead-ups then.
All right, okay. Elizabeth Debicki from The Tale, The Cloverfield Paradox. We've talked about her abilities.
Yeah.
She is a kind of younger version of Tilda Swinton. We feel
talented,
in many ways,
super
talented. She's got some money shots in this trailer. She's got some real moments buying the gun.
Yeah.
I'm into this trailer, directed by Steve McQueen, 12 Years a Slave. It looks insane. It looks like four movies in one. Is it too much?
So give me, yeah, what's the
rub here? I don't want to get into the plot too much.
Well, no, what's the rub, your theory about why critics are kind of holding themselves back here?
Movie about criminals. Does that rub everybody the wrong way? Because, all right, so you have a diverse cast. You have a cast that's extremely
so the world's just well not known. Ready for the female antihero?
I don't know if it's the female antihero. Just antiheroes in general right now just feels a little off. Like you're dealing with cops and robbers. Cops are taking a lot of heat from all corners based on real controversies.
That's a good point.
So now you're portraying, you know, the robbers as superheroes. I don't know if it's. Is that going to work here, Steve McQueen? I don't know. Under his hands, it damn well might. And obviously got Viola Davis. I like that you have, quote unquote, flawed heroes. My goodness.
Oh, for sure.
So you're going to have well-rounded characters. You're going to have shades of gray, of course. So maybe this is going to be a sophisticated look. Now, does that get recognized by a cautious Academy? Is the Academy going to be cautious? Or is it going to go for the Black Klansman? Is it going to go for the Widows this year, or is it going to go for the cookie cutter Welcome to Marwin, First Man type of movies? I don't know.
Is it going to go for Get Out, or is it going to play it safe with the fantasy love story?
Will they have a compromise pick, something that's funny, like a sci-fi comedy, like Sorry to Bother You, or Don't Worry to Bother You, whatever. I was going to put those two together.
Melding
right
of worlds. Yeah, I watched this trailer for Widows, and I was like, okay, so we have Best Picture is done. That's Welcome to Marwin. Best Lead Actress is done. Viola Davis is getting it. So we have two of our big seven already decided here on June 25th.
I don't know, man.
If it's not
loaded Black, categories.
Yeah, if it's not Black Klansman, this is the one I'm most excited to see. And it's kind of interesting. To me, it's Steve McQueen is kind of doing for Viola Davis what Liam Neeson had done for him in the Taken franchise, is that you have this actress who's not known for this action role and this anti-hero type role, this big action star, and you're kind of flipping it on its head. I mean, Liam Neeson wasn't thought of as a big action guy, and then Taken comes out, and the world wanted to see it because of the promotion for it.
Yeah.
Viola Davis isn't thought of some criminal mastermind here.
With her in that mask?
Yeah.
Holy shit, the high scenes from this
payoffs,
trailer.
Right.
Wow. So, and then she's got the dramatic chops and Steve McQueen has got the chops as well. So this movie's going to be that heavy of a drama as well as an action thriller.
Yeah.
Good God.
Check out, if you haven't seen it yet, check out this trailer for Widows and let us know if we're wrong, because Mike is totally right. We seem to be some of the few that are touting this as a Best Picture and Best Lead Actress contender, and I don't get it.
By our merits, by our taste, this seems like one right up our alley.
Totally.
Like last year, I had Baby Driver number one, and this feels like a Baby Driver with even more substance.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to get plenty of style from Steve McQueen. Each one of his movies are overflowing with it.
Extremely
My God,
capable.
What a talent.
Awesome, yeah.
Talk about stylistic talents. Suspiria.
This is going to win Best Picture?
No. We previewed it in our Hollywood Hot Takes number 6, but a trailer hadn't come out yet. A remake of the Dario Argento horror film, the Italian master there, directed by Luca Guadagnino, an oncoming Italian master, if he's not one just yet. Call Me By Your Name, director.
I think he might have already passed that threshold.
He's made some good movies, a lot of them with Tilda Swinton, starring Dakota Johnson, 50 Shades trilogy, Chloe Grace Moretz from Kick-Ass, and Cameron Post. The Miseducation of Cameron Post, that is. Tilda Swinton from Michael Clayton, Snowpiercer, Grand Budapest Hotel, Doctor Strange, all those movies that we've talked about on this pod.
Never wanted to shy away from a wig.
Suspiria looks fascinating, Mike. What do you think?
So the Dario Argento one was like very vibrant and in your face with the contrast of colors and very bright stuff, and it was red splattered blood throughout and etc. This one's got very rustic looking tones of color in it, and it's like much darker than I thought I would think a remake for Suspiria would be.
It's like a David Fincher look almost.
Exactly. That's a great point. That's
browns,
a great
and
great
grays
statement.
And greens.
Yeah.
And then when the red pops up. All right, now you're
and her Dakota Johnson's hair is that kind of bright red, which isn't the usual hair color.
Just did this bright summer romance,
right?
The movie that was the feel good film of the last 5 years, and now he's got all these. But it's a serial killer movie, so it makes sense.
Yeah,
but the Dario Argento was all the neon colors,
exactly.
The
bright
vibrancy.
And in your face, and this seems to be more reserved and more sinister. I'm excited. I mean, how can you not be excited if you're a horror fan for a remake of Suspiria? And it's in such capable hands. Luca Guadagnino, Dakota Johnson, Tilda Swinton, Chloe Grace Moretz, my God.
I do not remember the original movie, the Dario Argento movie. I'm curious to rewatch it now. I think I keep getting it confused in my head with the bird with the crystal plumage, the other Argento movie I watched. I just remember kind of just scenes that were strung out for so long and making you have the suspense for so long, and then you get the most horrifying image you can get, right?
Yeah.
For especially that era. Is this movie going to do something similar? You would think it would, because Guadagnino takes his damn time and he is very patient as a director. So I can see that working for him. I can see him following Argento's lead as he has much of his career. So this could be a really perfect match between original and remake. However, do we go back to it? Because I almost don't want to look at it, because there's bad makeup on that old man in the trailer. That's a young actor playing that old man. Now, is that part of his character? I don't remember. It can't be a spoiler because I don't remember. I don't know. But I hate that. I hate bad makeup.
You are very big on the makeup and wig aesthetic.
I'm a jerk. I have pet peeves.
I wasn't going to define it like that, but
I have pet peeves as a critic. So I don't know. I may not be able to hold out on a rewatch. Maybe we'll have to do that in terms of a, lead up into this movie.
What happens with Halloween coming up. Yeah, we never know. We're always big into horrors around here. Beautiful Boy is the next one on our list. There's no trailer for this one. It's just a couple teasers or one teaser that's played over and over again. This is going to be tough. This is a tough, tough watch. It's going to be a tough subject matter. It's Steve Carell playing a father as he watches his son, Timothy Chalamet, kind of spiral into this something that's all too familiar for way too many families. Yeah, it's an addiction type story, and watching his son kind of get out of control. Like I said, only a teaser available for this one, but I think I speak for all of us when I say Timothy Chalamet is going to win Best Actor, so that's three of the big seven decided.
Looking at all the predictions, and again, next episode we'll break them down. Chalamet and Carell, who's the lead actor? Who's the supporting? They've both been mentioned in both categories thus far. Also stars Maura Tierney, who I love. Amy Ryan from Gone Baby Gone, The Wire, The Office, Devil Knows You're Dead, and The Birdman,
the
by
Office
the way.
The Office is the other place.
The Birdman or Birdman, one of the two. Right. Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
Thank you. Just in case people didn't know which Birdman movie we were referring to.
I think she's from Boston. Either that, she sold me on the accent completely. Directed by Felix von Groningen of the Oscar-nominated The Broken Circle Breakdown. Again, Beautiful Boy getting a ton of buzz based on the memoirs, too. Right? Adapted from two memoirs. Beautiful Boy by David Sheff, the father, and Tweak by the son, Nick Sheff.
And there's your rub for the Academy. Oh, is that God. How this is based on a true story? It's also a biopic.
Silver linings, though, here. The film chronicles the heartbreaking story of the experience of survival and recovery in a family coping with addiction over many years. Now, does that mean the kid lives? I don't know. We don't know. And
haven't read it.
That trailer, though, it's a short one. It's a teaser. Timothy Chalamet at the table.
Balls off.
With his father. Oh. Like, we really haven't seen it from Steve Carell in that trailer yet.
Mm-mm.
But Chalamet going nuts.
Going ham.
Going
for that thing that every one of us as a teenager yelled at our parents about. How you don't know me, you don't understand. Oh, yeah.
So if it's a two-hander movie, maybe they both are up for Best Actor. But my guess is Chalamet, Best Actor, Carell supporting. But
if
I don't
gets
know.
Momentum, I guarantee the studio will position one and one.
So maybe they both get in to those two categories. We shall see. Next movie, Mike, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Melissa McCarthy going for the Oscar here. She's another literary-based movie where she is a author who has found a letter from one of her favorite authors, a more famous author, that was in a book she was reading. She turned it into money. Now she's hard-pressed for cash, so she starts forging these personal letters from these historical authors and selling them for cash, and the walls eventually close in on her, and she gets found out, it looks like, from the trailer anyway.
I like the trailer. I like Richard E. Grant over the years as a character actor. The Wawa Diaries, I think, is his book about making his first movie, writing and directing. I keep almost buying it on Audible as an audiobook because I love books about filmmaking.
The last book I read, I think, was The Westing Game in sixth grade. So if you want to talk to me about issues of Sports Illustrated.
You're a lawyer. Don't you read?
Yeah, and I stand by what I just said.
You have to read so much with your job. So, all right, it makes sense. Listen, I've enjoyed this trailer legitimately. Here's the thing, though. Melissa McCarthy for an Oscar campaign. You already have Toni Collette, Viola Davis, Glenn Close, Felicity Jones, Mary Loaded. Queen of Scots to duo.
Yeah. Ugh. Loaded field.
And that's just mentioning some. We're going to have like 15 deep of monster names.
It's going to all come down to momentum. We're going to see. First of all, these all aren't going to be beloved by critics. There's going to be one or two that stumble.
Yeah, what's the Chappaquiddick? What's the You Were Never Really Here? What gets pushed? Right. How to Talk to Girls at Parties was supposed to be A24's big push last year. It got bumped up and it never hit theaters and it just came out on VOD like last week for us to watch because it got crappy reviews.
Even this year already, we've had movies that were positioned as critical darlings and supposed to maybe get momentum that have already been passed by in a way and overlooked. Thoroughbreds is an example. A lot of critics love that one.
Yep.
Already kind of got lost in the shuffle. What was the one I just mentioned?
Gemini.
Yeah. Another example. So we're going to have that kind of momentum. It's all going to come down to what gets pushed to the forefront. And that's why all these studios hold off these big pictures until the end of the year.
Very, very true. You Were Never Really Here had Joaquin Phoenix atop a lot of those Oscar lists for the longest time. My God.
In a Taxi Driver type screenplay.
Yeah.
You know, in a screenplay about revenge. And we
Jessica Chastain from Molly's Game was up there atop the list for the longest time last year. Next movie, I guess. Let's keep talking. The Old Man and the Gun.
I couldn't be less interested in this one. Could not.
David Lowery.
And it saddens me.
David Lowery is an interesting director. He does a lot of Casey Affleck films. Rooney Mara is kind of a muse for him. A Ghost Story was his latest with Affleck and Mara.
That's the one with Swayze. He's doing the clay at the table where it's spinning. Whoopi Goldberg.
Close. No, no. No, all right. The opposite of what I'm talking about here. This is a serious look at infinity and death and grief.
I add a lot to this podcast.
Although Ghost probably got nominated for way more Oscars back in the day.
Whoopi won it.
A Ghost Story, David Lowery, kind of an indie film guy, done a bunch of these movies. I don't love all these movies. I kind of watch them as they come, but this is Sissy Spacek. This is
why it kills me that I'm not interested in this. Loaded cast. Sissy Spacek is back. Robert Redford is here.
Robert Redford, thank you.
We're all, you know, this
Casey
is
Affleck.
Casey, are we letting Casey Affleck back in the movies? Have we decided that as a society that James Franco and Casey Affleck
with
are
his buddy David
allowed
Lowery
to come back?
Not to say that David Lowery's doing a bad thing, but I don't know. I mean, Casey Affleck settled those cases.
It hits me. I'll say this: when I see it, it hits me wrong. It's something like
he should have the walk of shame for a little longer.
I guess that's how I feel when I see it.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. Yeah, he's coming out with another movie, and freaking Kevin Spacey's coming out in another movie too.
Yeah.
I just heard.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I have my things to say about that too, but
we'll see. I don't know. I'm intrigued. The trailer is a little slower paced, but that's not a surprise because all of these movies are. They're very, you know, thoughtful, these movies. So we'll see. I would be surprised if this really picks up down the line.
This is a bit of The Hero last year, right? With Sam Elliott.
True. And all this guy's movies are kind of that indie feel. I mean, I like them. They're plus for me, but they don't feel like Oscar movies. They don't feel like mainstream. I'd be shocked. Maybe a Sissy Spacek, Robert Redford push at some point.
Hey, speaking of Oscar, how about Oscar Isaac in Operation Finale? That's a transition for you folks in the biz.
This movie has on-the-nose dialogue in its trailer, but we're hunting Nazis, I guess.
Nazis are a big theme in the movies, and is there an Illuminati? Because these movies had to be in production before the Nazi revival came last year. So, did the Illuminati bring back the Nazis just because these movies were on the agenda?
We had such a long period where the villains in movies were so kind of relatable from superhero movies. Mm-hmm. And we've had superhero movies that have just been showdown movies between heroes. Batman versus Superman. Captain America Civil War. We were relating much more to the villains. Now, are we going back to we gotta have pure evil as villainry again? Because that kind of scares me a little bit. That doesn't work for society in general because we should really need to kind of get to understand one another, right?
Yeah, that's a really interesting, that's a very philosophical point that you brought up.
Maybe
I don't think I disagree with it.
If I was in a class right now in high school,
you'd be
the
mocking
teacher,
yourself?
Everybody would be mocking me. Oh, wow, that's deep, bro.
I don't know. To me, I got excited about this trailer. Oscar Isaac, I don't know, but this is Isaac and Ben Kingsley, right? And it's a hunt for a Nazi.
Ben Kingsley's Eichmann?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the hunt for the biggest torturer that actually escaped in
the
real
guy
life.
Who came up with the final solution. Right. Mossad spies from Nick Kroll to Haley Lou Richardson from Columbus. Kroll's been obviously doing the comedy thing with Kroll's
I'm much
show.
More excited about seeing this trailer than I was about The Catcher Was a Spy, which was the Paul Rudd
yeah,
war
no, the,
thriller
the reviews just
thing.
Came out for that one. We actually took this off this yeah. episode because it came out 28% Paul Rudd movie.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, this
so
feels
right
kind of...
I'm always right. I'm a genius.
Yeah, this kind of feels on that level. I haven't preparing that next episode, this didn't really show up for me, but Melanie Laurent from Inglourious Basterds, she plays, oh, that character in the red dress at the end. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I mm-hmm. loved her. Anyway, here's my problem with this trailer. You have Eichmann, who's a Nazi on the run. How powerful is he? Is he with some neo-Nazi group? Is he with his friends somewhere? Is he being the top of a his own network of spies, his own sleeper cell, whatever that is?
Yeah.
If he is, then this movie could work. If he is not, if he's just like an old man on the run, then the Mossad, as powerful a force as they are, with all these heavy-hitting actors, it doesn't feel like there's any stakes there. It just feels like they should hunt him down and get him.
But wait a minute, you're saying to me then you think the government has tabs on everybody they want to get to at any time?
I'm just saying it looks like the heroes have a lot more
Didn't
power.
Whitey Bulger evade the FBI for 70 years or something like that?
If it's just the cat and mouse thing where this guy's on the run and he's really got some... But he needs to have the upper hand, the villain, in movies in general. I'm not saying you have to have an underdog, but he has to have the upper hand on the heroes. I don't know if that works in this trailer.
That's interesting. So you're saying basically it's being positioned almost to root for the bad guy, quote unquote, but the bad guy in this one isn't an anti-hero. He's a fucking Nazi.
Right.
So yeah,
isn't that a little weird?
Okay. Yeah, that is weird. I didn't think of it like that.
Usually the underdog is what the audience roots for.
It also seems like Oscar Isaac has some kind of personal conflict in this one, the way the trailer presented him. Because he's very stoic, very silent. He's just getting orders barked at him. And he's just
like,
kind of
like, if it was Nick Kroll
silently.
Trying to hunt down the Nazi, I would be more inclined to say, all right, he's up against it.
Right.
Because he's Nick Kroll. I mean, he was great in Loving. He did a dramatic turn in Loving, which was an Oscar movie from a couple years
which,
ago.
Which, by the way, it's another point I want to bring up. If you include The Catcher Was a Spy, let's say that did make waves as opposed to being kind of a relative flop, like you said, the critic right. scores suggest it is.
Well, that's an example of what you said before of movies
Something
being touted
the
and then dying,
yeah.
falling on its face.
Paul Rudd, Melissa McCarthy, Nick Kroll. There was one more.
We said Ben Kingsley.
Oh, John C. Reilly in The Sisters Brothers.
Are you talking
these
about?
These are guys.
Comedians.
Yeah, comedians. But these are guys that are all playing these dramatic roles that might be up for Oscar contention that 15 years ago were all on Adult Swim at 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You know? Like, it's yeah. really crazy to see the evolution of these actors, and great for them. I'm glad
Absolutely.
To see it.
Speaking of, John C. Reilly's coming out in The Sister Brothers.
Yes.
Sisters Brothers. The coolest thing about this trailer is the soundtrack, Tainted Love, that melody
was very cool.
Not only plays as a song at the end of this trailer during the action sequence, but it also comes out of a music box in the Old West, because this is a Western. I hope that exists in the actual movie, because that would be really cool, right? Mm. It would be like
yeah,
kind of a Westworld thing where they have that bizarre time trip. Written and directed by Jacques Audiard.
Okay.
Rustin Brone.
No French people.
Rustin Brone, I just said. That's what I just said.
Yeah, Rust and Bone.
Rustin
Brone.
Rust and Bone. Marion Cotillard. A Prophet.
You want to just move on?
Listen, this is his first American film. Those were good movies. They were nominated for Oscars. Starring Joaquin Phoenix and John C. Reilly as the Sisters Brothers. There's way too many linguistic tongue-tiedness.
I think that's the point.
Right now. That's the problem. But listen, you got Jake Gyllenhaal, Riz Ahmed from The Night Of,
yep.
Rutger Hauer from Blade Runner, and Hobo with a Shotgun. You like those references there? For an Oscar movie made by a French director? Wow. I write some copy.
That sounds like something that we would make, but...
I hated that movie with a passion.
What is with these ensemble pieces of these huge casts all deciding to get together to make... I mean, this is... Riz Ahmed and Jake Gyllenhaal is third and fourth billing on this is a big deal.
True, but that trailer kind of worked because it started out with the story about the brothers. Mm-hmm. They're doing their thing as robbers, as killers, as hitmen. We don't know. Then you have kind of the second part of it. You have the Jake Gyllenhaal prospector, Riz Ahmed, with a innovation where he invents
fine gold, yeah.
From the water there, he comes up with a chemical that kind of just shows you.
It's gold, yeah. It this might have been the most cinematic trailer of the year so far. The way the opening is presented, where you see the title of the movie only seen throughout gun blasts on either side of a shootout. That was so cool, right? So cool looking. Never seen anything like that. That was awesome.
That could be an innovative way to do a Western, so I'm kind of in here.
Yeah. I'm not a big Western guy. I find those have the highest bar amongst genres to appeal to me, but this one definitely looks a little different because it doesn't look like a straight Western. It looks like there's a little more under the surface here.
Art house Western?
Yeah.
Next movie is Wildlife, Mike.
Yeah, Wildlife is the one. We got Carey Mulligan in this one. She's in this strained marriage with Jake Gyllenhaal again, who seems to have been busy this past year making these movies. And this seems like it's told through this perspective of their child, Ed Oxenbold.
His face is distinctive.
Kid from The Visit as well. I have not a lot of juice for this one, and it makes me sad because I love Mulligan and Gyllenhaal so much.
Directed by Paul Dano, the preacher from There Will Be
Blood.
It's his
directing debut. Excited about that.
Bill Camp from The Leftovers, from a lot of cool movies that I like. He's an old dude. He is the other point of this love triangle. You have super stud Jake Gyllenhaal, super hot Carey Mulligan, and Bill Camp? Excuse me?
Hey, man. Come on.
All right. I guess. What? Okay. I don't want to be an ageist or anything. I love Bill Camp. He's the coolest character in The Leftovers. He's been a character actor for forever. Anytime he shows up, he is so good. He was in The Night Of as the main detective there. Good God, was he great in that. He needs to do more things.
Some people are attracted to wisdom.
Wisdom.
And but experience.
We see Mulligan and Gyllenhaal have an all-out screaming matches.
Yes.
We see Mulligan dancing. We see Mulligan saying things with tears in her eyes, but still like saying it with an intensity, like she's not just all-out crying. It looks like a showcase for her. We also see her asking her son for, I don't want to say love advice, but for advice. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do? She says that at some point during the trailer.
Yeah, it seemed like she was kind of asking him for a way out, almost. Like, to get out of marriage.
And sincerely.
Putting that on your teenage son, yeah.
Like, she's pushing that across to me. Her sincerity, well, if you have a better idea, what should I do, kid? Like, she's asking him with sincerity that I can't get over it and selling me on it. Listen, I'm in for this trailer in a way, but it looks like vegetables at the same time.
I don't know. I wanted more Gyllenhaal. I don't think he's doing a whole lot in this trailer. Maybe they're reserving it in the marketing. I mean, that's intentional. Ed Oxenbold, I don't know that much about. I don't know what's on his shoulders as far as the screenplay goes.
He's got another movie coming out this year that I really don't like.
He looks like Chris Reinecker, who's of YouTube fame, used to be in BuzzFeed and stuff. They look identical, but we'll see. You're excited. I'm tempered. Hopefully I'm wrong, and you're right.
Yeah, one final movie left. I kind of jammed it in here because I love this trailer so much.
It is a funny trailer.
I heard that Jeff Bridges, the dude himself, is getting some Oscar buzz for Best Supporting Actor.
I hope so.
So I put this in, Bad Times at the El Royale.
I have no idea what this movie's about. I've seen the trailer. I have no idea what's going on.
Whenever a trailer picks up the pace with a drum beat at the end that leads to an explosion of action or credits... At the end of a trailer, I am so game. But this movie does kind of both. Like, you see Jeff Bridges in a mask robbing whatever. I don't know what he's robbing. But you also see, like, really a fast cut montage. I love montage. I love music videos. I love this trailer. I don't know if I'm going to love the movie, but directed by Drew Goddard from Cabin in the Woods, man.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Thor himself, Chris Hemsworth, John Hamm from Mad Men.
Another ensemble piece. A lot of great act. Are there too many great actors right now? Is that what's going on? That they're all available for all these different movies?
We're in a golden age, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe.
Dakota Johnson, Nick Offerman, the song in this trailer. How catchy was that Motown song?
I was singing it over and over again before the trailer was over.
I'm intrigued by this. My brothers, talking to them recently, seeing movies with them, they were just crazy over this trailer too. They usually have good taste. What's going to be this year's Baby Driver for me? Maybe it's this.
Could be. It's also, I always like when a trailer, the first trailer specifically, when it comes out and it intrigues you, but it leaves you with, what the fuck is this movie? And I really like that because they're hiding enough and keeping enough back.
It could be David Lynch or it could be the Adjustment Bureau.
Right.
Either one.
I mean, it does tickle my intrigue and I'm excited for that. And this definitely does that. You have Jeff Bridges playing seems like both sides of the card here. Good guy and bad guy later on. Very interesting trailer. If you're going to watch three trailers from this, for me, not that we plan this or anything, I would say watch this one, Bad Times at the El Royale. Watch The Sisters Brothers, because I've never seen a trailer like that. And I would say Widows is one that I'm most excited for.
And First Man, I would add. Yeah, you're big mention. On First Man. I was big in that trailer. So obviously there are a lot of Oscar movies still to come. Trailers still to come. Oscar movie trailers still to come. We're going to talk about more of a fuller picture in next episode, where we kind of go category by category. But it's exciting because now we have a lot of these hyped movies, these touted movies for Oscars. We actually have trailers to analyze.
So yeah, we're getting that mold of clay, and we're turning it into something that looks like a statue. Have you seen any of these trailers yourself? You want to pass comment on it? We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you're excited about or not. Leave us a line. Mike and Oscar on Facebook. Mike and Oscar on Instagram. MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine. Mike and Oscar.com. Mike and Oscar at gmail.com. Mike and Oscar on Reddit. Type in Mike and Oscar. You'll see us. And if you can leave us a comment on iTunes.
Getting a little
really
bored with that pitch, perhaps.
Just wanted to spice it up.
Review us.
And leave us a line.
You'll find our stuff. You can shorten it up, baby.
We really appreciate it. Any parting words of wisdom, Michael?
The mid-year Oscar report. This was cool. This is part one of it. Just tune in for next episode.
Check out part two coming in a couple days. Until then, reality sucks. Keep watching movies and Oscar trailers with us. We'll catch you guys next time. Yeah.